with the fuckers.
Before we do anything, let's try talking to him first. He pointed to Uchicho and mimed reading and flicking pages. You got that book? Uchicho made no sound or movement. He just stared at Ryan, frozen like a zombie. Christy watched a trickle of water flowing over the lip of the ruined dam.
I can see J.B., Laurie, and Doc near the ghost town.
They're waving to us.
Ryan was still watching Uchicho, his good eye locked on the Russian's amber gaze.
The book, you bastard.
Ryan, I can hear something.
What?
Horses. Earth Mother, I can hear so many horses. Coming this way, I couldn't hear before with the noise of the river.
JB's pointing over that way.
Hennings gestured to the west, where Christy was also pointing. Uchicho's face was impassive. This American and his companions might not know who was approaching the scene, but he had a pretty good idea who it was, and knew what was in store for him and the survivors. Resignedly, the Russian reached inside his coat and produced the damp copy of the phrase book, throwing it down in the mud at Ryan's feet. As he stooped to pick it up, Ryan heard what the girl had detected. Hooves pounding on rock, coming toward them. He glanced toward the ghost town, but J.B., Doc, and Laurie had disappeared. Henning started to back toward the river.
Let's kill the sons of bitches and get us the fuck out of here!
Now, look at this bastard's face. Whoever's coming aren't friends of his. Must be Americans. We'll wait and...
The words died in his throat as he watched the ridge a quarter mile to the west. While they'd been in the redoubt, he'd seen a couple of old vids called Westerns, involving savages that attacked vills and burned them down until Sekhmen called cavalry came to the rescue. Impressively, savages always seemed to appear in single file on the crest of a hill.
Well, I'll be.
Liza Brazneya fell to her pale knees and buried her face in her hands. The other Russians looked scared.
There's nearly 100 of them.
Hennings was spot on. 100 men, well mounted, all wearing uniforms, were approaching. Even at that distance, Ryan knew that these couldn't be friends or Americans. There wasn't a baron in the Deathlands with the power to put a regular small army into the field like this. The rising sun glanced off badges on some of their gray caps. Most had rifles slung across their backs.
Any move and we're cold meat. If it comes to it, take as many as you can. Play it soft.
They watched as the riders descended from the ridge, then cantered over the flat trail, reining in a wide semicircle at a signal from the man who seemed to be their leader. He was a pockmarked fellow with a bald head and a drooping mustache. He heeled his horse forward. Stopping a few paces from Ryan, he scrutinized them all, paying particular attention to their blasters. Uchicho studied the officer, and then barked a question at him in Russian. Zimyanin ignored him. Ryan tried to flick through the phrase book while still keeping his gun ready. The bald man reached into his coat, pulling out a small red notebook with some writing on the cover in a peculiar angular script that Ryan couldn't read.
I am Major Grigory Zimyanin, and I bring greetings from the party.
The accent was heavy, but Ryan found it easier to understand than Uchitil's garbled words. He bowed slightly to the Russian, who in turn waved with the red book at Uchicho and the other three.
I take prisoners, these mans.
Let them.
No. They're my prisoners.
Zimyanin glanced through his book, as if he wasn't sure he believed what he'd heard.
Yet, I take. He Russian, I take.
No.
Ryan was conscious of the others spreading out behind him supportively. The officer pored over his book, lips moving as he rehearsed what he wanted to say.
You are four. We are many. We kill.
Ryan tried to show a confidence he didn't truly feel.
We kill many of you.
The major pointed at Uchicho again.
He Russian.
Ryan made his move. Taking care not to spark off a firefight, he stepped in and moved Uchicho and the woman to one side with the barrel of the Heckler & Koch. Then he pushed the other two prisoners toward the man on horseback.
I'm a great believer in compromise.
He knew that the soldier would not understand the words, knowing as well that the gesture was obvious. Zimyanin hesitated. He could see that these Americans were not helpless peasants. They could only be some sort of unofficial militia, roaming the land to repel invaders. There weren't many of them, but their guns looked more lethal than anything he'd ever seen before. And they'd blown that huge dam. Ryan faced him, raising his eye questioningly.
Yes, my friend? Da.
The smooth gray rifle slipped inside the long coat. Ryan drew the Sig Sauer P226 9mm pistol, relishing the familiar weight in his hand. Standing 3 paces from Uchichil and the blubbery bulk of the woman, he fired 3 spaced shots. The first 2 entered the woman's chest between her sagging breasts. The impact sent Vyazobrazhnaya staggering backward, and Ryan put the 3rd bullet carefully between the eyes. Instantly, there was some talk among the watching horsemen, but Ryan couldn't tell whether it was from approval or anger. He stepped toward Uchichil, who faced him impassively.
Yet.
Zimyanyan rattled off a string of commands in Russian. He pointed towards Maya and Krisa, who fell to their knees and began to babble their pleas for mercy. The Americans watched as 6 soldiers swung down from their horses. 1 man took Zmeya's left hand in both of his, while a 2nd cavalryman took the other hand. They tugged as hard as they could to get the kneeling gorilla to rise. While they pulled him, a 3rd soldier took a short length of waxed rawhide from his belt and looped it around Zmeya's neck. The other trio of cavalrymen treated Krisa to the same, then looked toward the commanding officer for a signal. Zimyanyin favored Ryan with a thin smile, then nodded to the troops. The nooses of thin cord tightened, vanishing into the necks of both condemned men. Zmeya tried to cry out, but the sound was strangled, caught in his throat. The soldiers holding the prisoners struggled to retain a footing on the slippery pebbles. Krisa died first, his red eyes protruding so far from their sockets that it seemed they would burst. Blood came from his mouth and nose, then from the corners of his eyes. His body went suddenly slack. Zmeya the snake fought harder, and his passing took longer. Blood was jetting from a severed artery under his ear before he finally became limp, slumping in the arms of the 2 men gripping his wrists. At a gesture from Zimyanyan, the corpses were dragged by the ankles to the river. One of the soldiers drew a steel knife from his belt and sliced the ears off both bodies and tucked the ears into a pocket. Then each carcass was heaved into the river. Rolling and turning in the swift current, they were carried away across the plain toward where the rest of Uchichil's band had found their last resting place.
That's 2 to my 1. It's my turn, Major.
Ryan turned toward Uchichil,